Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an Asian, see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economic. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folks got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about something like about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. And you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly. They can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marches, they never changed anything.
Oh,
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No. Nope.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had number shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings. All of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on not meant to be way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on pity way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
All right. Hello. All right. Today's podcast, six introduced us yesterday. 6 hours. And what is your family product? Matter of fact, I think I have, for those who believe in, what's that concept called? White supremacy? I think I got a story for you guys. All wrapped up in 6 hours. Okay, now, in our program notes on Blog Talk Radio, let me tell you what I'm basing this 6 hours on. So let's go to Blog Talk Radio. We can read it for yourself. Go to our Facebook page. Not Facebook page. Go to our, I think it's on the Facebook page too. But it's on our program notes for sure. If we go to the scrolling marquee, if you go to our scrolling marquee on Blog Talk Radio, let's see, how do I do this? Okay, in our scrolling marquee, I've got two pictures. Man, how do I do this on here? Wait a minute now. Okay. two scrolling marquees. One says 6 hours. And the, oh, you know what? I got these in another part of my phone. Let me go there. It'll be easier for me to read it. Okay. In our scrolling marquee, we had two pictures. One just says 6 hours. The other one, it gives you some statistics. And I'm reading those right now. Studies say, and if you want me to repeat, 619-768-2945, you can get it that way too. Studies say that the average lifespan of a dollar is approximately 28 days in an Asian community. It's 19 days in a Jewish community. 17 days is the lifespan of a dollar in white communities. And just 6 hours in the black community here in the U.S. of A., United States of America. We're going to dissect that and show if you're black and you don't want to, and some of you might not be a part of those statistics anyway, but for those who are, we got a solution for you.
Because I used to observe that a lot of those shacks used to be by the track where black people were.
With the room in the back.
Yes, with the room in the back. That was a safety net.
Yeah.
Where black people who would move here and there and go from here and there looking for jobs, that's usually why we move, and the jobs would play out like they always did.
And do.
But we had a place to go when the sun went down. But now, those shacks by the track don't exist anymore. They came and built highways right alongside of those railroad tracks where those shacks used to be. Super highways. So now, if you get on a highway, you might notice that if you, sometimes you are right alongside of a railroad track. You see trains passing
that
as you are driving.
That is true.
Down a super highway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, those highways used not to be there in the northwestern hemisphere. It used to be shacks along there. A lot of those shacks were on what we call railroad property. But the railroad people, the people that ran the railroads, didn't care much because nobody wanted to be down. That wasn't prime real estate.
No.
Nobody wanted to be by the tracks anyway. So black people used to build those shacks around there back when black people knew how to build shacks. Black people don't know how to build anything now because they used to build places for white people, but they cut them off with things called unions, took them out, took the carpentry all out of the schools and all like that. So how many black people do you know that know how to fix anything now? It used to be thousands and millions of black people that know how to build a house from scratch out of old pieces of lumber.
Wow.
A lot of people don't remember that. Most people are not that old to have seen it done. I, coming along, I'm old enough to remember when many black people used to get together on a Saturday afternoon. That was the only time they had off, or sometimes, or on a Sunday sometimes after church. They would get together, six or eight of them, and go down and build what they call a shotgun house. It wasn't much, but it was a roof over your head, a good solid roof. I've been in some of those houses, raised up in some, all right? They were excellent, solid houses. They could stand a lot of storm and rain. They weren't much, just maybe three rooms. But I've been in some of them. And there were many, 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 many of them. But along came the white supremacists and say, these Negroes know how to build stuff. We're going to fix that so the next generation won't know how to do anything except stand in front of a place that is built and big. Because they won't know anything about carpentry or masonry or how to make anything with their hands.
Butterflies. I'm
6 hours, that's the name of our live stream today. 6 hours, what is your family product? All right, let me go back to statistics. And I want you to look at this on an individual household basis. Don't worry about trying to organize a group of people together and all this other stuff. We're talking about, what can you individually do to get ahead of the game? Now, let me see. Let me go back and read it. Okay, 6 hours, and here's what we mean by the 6 hours. Studies say that the average lifespan of a dollar is approximately 28 days in the Asian communities, 19 days in the Jewish communities, 17 days in the white communities, and just 6 hours in the black community. Right, and we're talking about primarily here in the United States. If we were on a continent, if we were talking about Africa, the continent, the numbers would be different. But we're talking about right here in the United States. So one common denominator is... let me break it down real simple. Number one, and I'm asking this question. These questions can apply to anyone, but I'm specifically asking them right now for African Americans on an individual household level. That's the metric I'm using. Number one, what is your family product? What does your family produce as a unit? We're not talking about what you go. We're not talking about the job you go to. What's your family's brand? Campbell's, or one of the Campbells in the Campbell family. Their brand. That's their brand. They make soup. They make a variety of soups. So what business is your family in? Another example is like Francois Mignon, who I've mentioned on here several times, and I got to follow up calls on it because her, whoever handles her bookings haven't called me back, and that was 2 weeks ago. But the Mignon Francois, her family business, they're in the cupcake business. Now, they make birthday cakes, too. But they're primarily in the what I would call exotic cupcake business. That's the only term I can think of right now. But exotic, they make exotic cupcakes. Very unique. That's the family business that she started to get the lights cut back on, to get the water cut back on, and to save the house from foreclosure. Cupcakes. That's the family. Now, they've expanded. You know, they make birthday cakes and, you know, that type of stuff. But cupcakes, that's the family business. It has a GMP. Now, to further illustrate this, and once again, I've already asked the question, what is your family business? What's your family brand? What's your family's business product line? Does your family have a product line? Now, going back to Mignon Francois, you know, they've got Jack Daniel's cupcakes, you know, the frosting, that is. They have cupcakes with different type of frostings on it. To illustrate it a little bit more, I want you to take out a piece of scrap paper, envelope, napkin, something, and on write down, I'm telling you what to write down, your family product line, and then just draw a little short dash or underscore, a little short underscore, because you're going to fill in a number there. All right. Now, below that or on the other side of the paper or envelope or napkin, whatever you have, you know, Chin family product line. And then write a little underscore because you're going to put a number there. All right. Now, on a critical mass basis, the average family, regardless of race, color, religion, creed, what have you, the average family when you ask them how many products do you have in your product line, the number will be zero. You know, the husband and wife might be working, but they're working for somebody else. So what I'm specifically talking about, what besides producing children, what is that family producing? So what I mean, is it a hamburger? Piece of fried chicken. You grow oranges, citrus fruit. You make baskets. You make wigs. So most people, regardless of color, they don't have a family product. So zero would go into that. Now, on the other side of the paper, I told you to write, or envelope and napkin, whatever you have, I asked you to write Chin family. What, you know, I got a Chinese food menu. I order from these guys about once a month. Okay. I'm opening, it's around about lunchtime in my neck of the woods, 11 a.m., a little bit after 11 a.m. I'm opening up, now this family, I'm going to call them the Chin family, but that's not their real name, but just for illustration purposes. The Chin family, I'm looking at their menu. They have a carry-out restaurant. All right. Now, on the lunch special, because in my neck of the woods, for them, the lunch is 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. So on their lunch special, and this is just part of their menu, they have 32 items. They have 32 products. Chicken, or they have chow mein. Now, actually, these are the base products in their lunch menu. There's more than that if we go within each order. Like with the chow mein. Now, you can have that chicken, shrimp, or vegetable. Then they also had chicken with cashew nuts, pork with mixed vegetables, mugu gai pan, pepper steak with onions. So they have, it lists 32, but within those 32, you can tweak it, so they have actually more than 32 items. This is just on their lunch special, part of the menu. So they have 32-plus items on their lunch special, and the lunch specials cost $6.75. And typically they give you enough for two people, either two people or 2 days. Typically, anything I order off here, it'll last me 2 days. I'll eat half today and then the other half tomorrow. All right. So, now, once again, the average American family, when it comes to a product line, it's zero, regardless of color. We're talking about on a critical mass basis. Now, if we open up the menu even more, and that, you know, imagine if, now once again, imagine how your income can change your household family. And we're talking about on a family level. We're not talking about, you know, it's amazing there have been 2 million man marches over a 20-year period of time. Oh, that's a whole nother podcast. Anyway. wait a minute. Okay, so we open up the menu, and where did it go? Okay, we open up their menu, and let me see. Appetizers. 12 products in the appetizer section of their total menu. So add that on, they got 32 items in their lunch special item, menu, and then part of the menu, and then they have 12 more items and appetizers, egg roll, spring roll, dried wonton, crab rangoon, fried or steamed dumplings. That's two items just in that, you know, just under that. Beef teriyaki, chicken teriyaki, boneless spare ribs, barbecue spare ribs, poo-poo platter. That's the 12-plus items. Now, let's break this. Once again, I want you to write, matter of fact, this is almost, in my opinion, a silver bullet to those who believe in white supremacy. We live in a capitalistic society. Okay. The more profit centers that you have, the better it is for you. And we're talking about on a household level. Forget about trying to get together with the neighborhood. Forget about organizing another million man march or another million woman march, okay? Forget about trying to get laws passed and legislate. Forget about all that right now. What you can control is what goes on in your individual household. And if your household doesn't want to go along with it, that's good too, because everything starts with one. What product can you produce? What can you make? Once again, using Mignon Francois, she had a cupcake. That was her go-to, and it's still working for her. So, and none of this is rocket science. We're talking about, you know, basic items off this Chinese soup menu. We're talking about rice, bean sprouts, vegetables, you know, chicken, pork, beef, seafood. All right, so let's go back into, I hear my phone somewhere. Oh, I found it. Okay. So, all right, here we go. 12 appetizer items. These are profit centers. All right. 32 lunch specials. Now they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. They have 8 different types of soup. This, you know what, they got a fried rice products, they have lo mein products, they have chow mein or chop suey products, they have egg foo young products, they have mushu products, they have mi fun products, they have sweet and sour products, they have vegetable products, they have pork products, beef products, chicken products, they have chef special products. It looks about 10 or 15 along. This list that I have has over 103 items. Actually, it probably has over 200. But from the appetizer to the seafood items, they have 103 products. That does not include the lunch special, which is 32 products. It does not also include the special Chinese American dishes, and they have 4 of those. The Chinese American dishes are fried chicken wings, baby shrimp, fried jumbo shrimp, and french fries. Those are what they call their special Chinese American dishes. That's on top of the 103 items that they have. When you got that kind of So if you got the typical American family, regardless of race or color, and they have 0 products, they have jobs at IBM and all that other stuff, all right? We get that, but we're not talking about that. But if you get fired off those IBM jobs, that's it. Well, you can always get another job, though. But so we're talking about 0 to over 100, actually over 200 items in their product line. Let's switch to the Chen family again, because the Chen family might have a nail salon. The nail salon probably might have anywhere from 6 to 10 to 12 technicians working in that hair salon. And they're selling product. Or we can say the Chen hair care business. But they don't make all the products that they have in the Chen hair care store. They don't make any of those. Wait a minute. Let me think. Well, you know what? That's a whole other thing. All right. We can look at it from 2 different angles. Number one, they don't make any of the products in the store. They just sell them. They're distributors. All right. they do make product, and it's just an outlet. Like a lot of the dollar stores, not all of them. I forgot which one of them, but I'll give you some of the dollar stores basically are just outlets for Chinese products, the products that are made in China. Not all of them. One of them, I forgot which one of them, is an American company. But I forget which one of the dollar stores was. It's just an outlet. And, they don't have to have made in China. I mean, they don't, this is a black, this is a Chinese owned and operated. No. It's a dollar store. People are looking for bargains. Now, as far as power tools go, Harbor Freight basically is an outlet for China. Not all, but maybe a good majority of the power tools sold at Harbor Freight, they're retail outlets for products made in China. Matter of fact, some of the products that you'll buy at Harbor Freight is, the name of the company is Chicago, I forget it. Chicago's in the title of it. You would think that, I got to look it up now. But although it has an American-sounding name, let me see, Chicago. Let me put it this way. Harbor Freight Tools. All right, Harbor Freight. Somebody asked a question. Why is Harbor Freight Tools so cheap? They cut out the middleman. We work directly with the manufacturers. Okay, now that's true. And then Harbor Freight, I got some Harbor Freight tools here, but they're not at my fingertips. Harbor Freight, it's a Chicago, it's not a Chicago company, but they use Chicago in the name. Oh, there, here we go, Chicago Electric. A lot of the items that you're going to buy on Harbor Freight are made by Chicago Electric, but Chicago Electric is really a Asian company. So Harbor Freight locations, outlets are basically that's the way they you don't see any Chinese flags up there, you don't see any Asian flags up there, them moving product. So the point I want to make is this. In this 6 hours, okay, and once again, I'll read the stats. Okay, and you can, the next time you get some money in your hand, how long is that dollar going to stay in your family? Does it circulate within your family? In other words, and I'll give an example of circulation. Let's say, I'm going to keep it real simple, you eat rice. I know some people that eat rice every day. It's part of their culture. So with your dollar, you buy rice. Who are you buying rice from? Can you buy rice from somebody in your individual household? I'm really simplifying this, okay? So you got a dollar, and you pay, let's say you're living in a house with any relative. You pick the relatives, children, siblings, what have you. And you give them a dollar, and they give you a dollar's worth of rice. That dollar has remained in that family. All right. And let's say that they give you enough rice for a dollar, and you might be able to eat for a couple of days on it. You know, I don't know. We're trying to really simplify this. All right. Now, one of your relatives within that household has a dollar, and you've got rice. Now, the person that you, the blood relative that you, in your household, under your roof, that you sold, that, you know, that you bought the rice from, they need to buy eggs. So there's another blood relative under that same household, all right, that happens to, they've got a couple of chickens or a few chickens, and they've got fresh eggs on a daily. So that person takes that dollar and they buy, you know, I'm really simplifying it. But that's, once again, going back to this, these statistics, studies say on average the average lifespan of a dollar is approximately 28 days in Asian communities, because many Asian communities, not all, but many, are merchant-based cultures. Merchant-based cultures. I've been to Asia, and that's one of the things, at least the parts, the maritime Southeast Asia where one of the trips I was over there, it, man, everybody had a, well, not everybody, but there were a lot of stores. And they were basically little small little neighborhood shops. Small little neighborhood shops. So in any event, approximately 28 days in Asian communities, 19 days in Jewish communities, 17 days in white communities, and 6 hours in black communities. Now, we're talking about the United States. And the common denominator is, and why it's only 6 hours, has nothing to do with white folks, has nothing to do with this so-called white supremacy. It's that on a basic fundamental level, once again, you don't have to march for this. You don't have to protest for this. You don't have to vote for this. All right. You can't blame victimhood on this one. Is you have to find something that you can make and then sell. That's why I know a lot of you guys are tired of it. The Mignon Francois example, a cupcake. The power of a cupcake. Now, that might not be your thing, and for most people, it isn't. But there's something that you can make and or sell. Now, there's some things that you can sell because, I mean, basically Walmart didn't make anything. Sam Walton just sold other people's stuff. That could be your strategy. But these little quiet, there's so many examples around you. We're surrounded by, you just have to pick one thing. And if you don't know how to make it, you can learn how to make it. And if you did, let me give you some urban examples. You know, Dr. Dre, one of the things that he makes, well, or subcontracts to make, are the headphones. More than likely, there's a contractor somewhere in Asia that he's got to deal with, him and his business partners. So that's one of the things that, you know, whatever, because his name is the intellectual property that they're putting on these headphones. The headphones are probably made in Asia somewhere or whatever. But that's how he does it. He's got other products, but that's one of the ways that he does it. Master P, you know, he produces records and films. Now, I think he's getting into the tennis shoe or the athletic footwear business. If he hasn't already, he's working on getting into that. Rihanna, you know, she made recordings, but she also has a cosmetic line now. And we're talking about Kanye West. He's got, you know, a clothing line as well as, you know, intellectual property itself in the form of music. So and I just, these are billionaires now. These are Rihanna, Dr. Dre, Kanye West, three examples of black American first-generation billionaires. I've never heard any of them talking about going to the Million Man March or the Million Woman March. Never heard any of them talk about reparations. They might have. I just never heard about it. I never heard any of them talk about white supremacy. They found, and every, Rihanna with cosmetics is not rocket science. Headphones manufactured in anywhere is not rocket science. Athletic, I mean, what's his name? Kanye West. You know, he's got clothing line. Anybody who has access to a sewing machine? Or maybe you can partner, you don't know nothing about sewing, but you got some great ideas in your mind for designs, partner with somebody who does have a sewing machine. But the bottom line is find something to make and then sell. Madam C.J. Walker made products. She had, and I'm going to find her product list one day and just go through it. One of the items on her product line, and I don't know if she made them or she distributed them. The hot comb. She didn't invent the hot comb, but she sold a whole lot of them. Now, I don't know if she made her own design or whatever, but she did not invent the hot comb, but she sold a whole lot of them. She had scalp treatments. Like I said, she had a pretty diverse product line, and she was able to, that's how she got wealthy, and a whole bunch of black women were able to eat, put food on the table, send their kids to school or whatever they wanted to do. And she learned it from Annie Malone. And we've covered both of them in the past. But they had, so they're examples of black folk, past as well as present, who have, I guess you can say, if you want to learn how to rise up in the United States, you know, part of capitalism is if you learn how to make something and sell it, and that's the common denominator with every last one of these people, as well as General Motors, okay, as well as Exxon. General Motors is, you know, that's the oil thing, but they had to drill for that. But the main idea is make something and sell it, or at the very least, find something to sell. This can be done on an individual. Forget about trying to get 40 million black folks together. I mean, well, you know what? If that's your thing, more power to you. Keep on trying that. But while you're trying that, okay, while you're trying that, because you don't have any control over the 40 million people, look at your household, and if you're not having any luck within your household, that's okay, too. All you need is you. All you need is you. Now, if you have, now, like in the case of Francois Mignon, all right, she got the cupcake recipe from her grandmother. She didn't know how to bake at the time. But she had seven children. Two out of those seven, two of her daughters, knew how to bake. So she took grandma's recipe and shared it with her daughters, two daughters, and now it's $10 million later. The $10 million didn't come overnight, okay. But, you know, from $5 to $60, from $60 to $600, that's the first week. That's the first week. No college degrees involved with this. It says, here's a sheet of paper with grandma's. And for children, those two daughters who baked those cupcakes, it was their great-grandmother's recipe. That cupcake recipe is a form of generational wealth. So everything that anybody needs is within you and your household already. Even if you're the only person in your household, you got everything you need. It might not look like it. It might not look like I said, with Mignon Francois, her lights were cut off. There was no water in the house. And you got seven children. Seven kids and $5. And that's the last person on a planet you might think they don't have what it takes to become a millionaire. Or have a million, put it this way, not so much a millionaire individually, but have $1 million, the $5 and turn it into millions. But, and I'm not telling everybody to go out and run, become a millionaire or whatever, but the opportunities are out there to increase your sustainability if you just, once again, what is it that, what do you use right now that you can possibly produce? And there's an abundance. Sit down with a piece of paper and think about everything that you spend a dollar on. Food, entertainment, transportation, clothing. And particularly ladies, if you go to the nail salon, next time you go to the nail salon, how big is their product line? Take a look at that. Or the next time you go to a restaurant, even McDonald's, look at that menu and look at how many items on that menu. Now you don't have to have a big product line to start. Just, you know what, Francois Mignon had one item to start, a cupcake recipe. The way she has it today with the various type of icings or toppings, icings. She's got all type of exotic flavors. But she made one batch of cupcakes. She took the recipe that made one cupcake, and she made 60. And turned the $5 into $60. And that's why I'm trying to get her on here, so she can tell you straight. I would like to find out what she did to get from the first day to the day that she had bought the house out of foreclosure. And she still has that house slash business as well. Still has it. But from $5 to $60, from $60 to $600 within the first 7 days. You can't get no simpler than a cupcake, people. Can't get no, I mean, basically an 8-year-old can do that one. An 8-year-old with just a teeny bit of supervision for the first batch or two, and then you can leave that 8-year-old alone. I'm picking 8 because, let's see, the first meal I cooked, my aunt taught me. One of my aunt taught me was a hot dog simple. Here's a hot dog, put it in some water and, you know, boil it. That was a big deal for me. I was like, second grade? But by third grade, I can come home from school, and it was, you know, certain little snacks that I can heat. I knew how to use the oven. By 8, I knew how to use the oven. And my mother trusted me enough where I can use the oven and the stove with no problem. You know, no problem of, you know, the house is going to catch fire and all this other business. That's at 8. So, another audio I play on here quite often, but Laura Nelson, who's only 12 years old right now, she along with her family, now she had help, but she can tell you specifically right now at 12, because she did it at 10, how to find, if you're looking for a house, I mean, she bought a camper through Craigslist. If you listen to her audio, it's only like one I play is 2 minutes, the other one's 3 minutes. Basically, she gives her the blueprint. Now, she uses hers for, that's her little guest house, you know, for a little privacy and her friends and all that type of stuff. Laura really could franchise that. I mean, she can turn around and sell that thing for, I'd say $8,000. Bare minimum five. She put $800. She bought it for $400, put $400 into it, $800 out of pocket. She can turn that thing around on the low end for $500. On the low end. High end, she might get about $8,000-$9,000. But she can sell it for $5,000 easy. But she's not into that. This is something that she wanted to do, and it's her project. You know, it's her creative artistry, and it's a family type thing that she put it together, or whatever. And she's only 12, so by the time she gets in her teens, which will be in a year or whatever, 13, you know, teenagers have a lot of many, you know, as we all do, many different interests. But she figured out, okay, if anything, I can live in a place that I can put together at an affordable price and I don't have any mortgage. She figured that out at 10. So, and that's her product. Laura Nelson, age 12 right now, had a product. Now, she didn't manufacture the camper. She bought one and fixed it up. The name of her camper is Camp Huge. And on audio, she explains what that means. Camp Huge, that's Laura Nelson's brand. She can put out a line of campers under the Camp Huguet brand. Anyway, but the more product that you produce, particularly in collaboration, and somebody's calling me, the better it'll be. Oh, let's see. All right, somebody. Hold on a minute. I'm on the air. Give me a minute. All right, people, I'll be back in 2 minutes.
Just ask for justice, I mean, and be very specific about what you're talking about in the process. Get away from the slogans. Go in, if they're talking to anybody who's a politician, go in with a list of things, always. Just don't go in with abstractions and say, well, we black people would like to have our freedom. We'd like to have better neighborhoods. We'd like to have better schools. These are titles, and that's an excellent start, but you have to be specific. In my school, I want this to be taught, so that when I walk out of that school with a piece of paper in my hand saying that I have graduated, I want to know exactly what I'm going to be doing.
Okay. That was, I had to take that call. All right. So anyway, as a quick review before I go to the phone lines here, today's podcast is titled 6 Hours, What is Your Family Product? And we introduced 6 Hours yesterday. And here's where I get to 6 Hours from. Studies say that the average lifespan of a dollar is approximately 28 days within Asian communities, 19 days in Jewish communities, 17 days in white communities, and just 6 hours in black communities. Now, this is based on the United States population. All right, so we went through, you know, what the common denominator, why only 6 hours? So we came up with that through example, that in the black community, we, on a critical mass basis in the United States, we're not talking about in Africa or nothing, or South America, but on a critical mass basis in the United States, the typical black American family, they do not produce what they sell. They do not produce what they use. They do not produce what they use. There are exceptions, like with the Dudley family out of Kernerville, North Carolina. They produce hair care products. You know, so, you know, they're doing well at what their, you know, with their core. Johnson Products out of Chicago. George Johnson is still alive. I think Joan Johnson, his wife, passed away. The makers of the blowout kit. The family that, because George Johnson with Johnson Products out of Chicago, they bankrolled Soul Train. So Johnson Products had that black family, they had a product line. All right. So within those families, the dollar circulated more than 6 hours. That's how they got rich. So what I'm saying is, in the United States, if you're a black family, the average black family, and if you want the dollar to circulate or stay within your family and grow, then you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You need to find something that you can make and then sell. Marching is not going to do it. That strategy has not, for the most part, has not worked. Protesting hasn't worked. The Black Panther Party, that strategy didn't work. And the Black Panthers did some good things. But the Black Panther Party never produced anything. They never manufactured. You know what? Had they come up with Black Panther laundry detergent, they might be relevant today. So we have to manufacture something. Now, I have, once again, Rihanna, who's, what, 30-something? How could a person from Barbados, little small Caribbean country, she wasn't born into riches. How could a person from Barbados, a small Caribbean island country, become a billionaire first generation? She's got a cosmetic product line. She partnered with somebody who makes something. Kanye West, call him crazy, but he's got a clothing line. The music just helps sell it. He's got a clothing line. Billionaire. Jay-Z wasn't born into money, didn't have rich parents. His parents weren't even together. Billionaire. He knew how to take intellectual property and package it and then distribute it. Same with Dr. Dre. And there are other examples. My favorite, which, you know, you guys heard me mention her name a gazillion times, meant a black woman with 7 kids and going through a divorce. Mignon Francois. Lights off. Water shut off. Took her grandmother's recipe and have turned it into in excess of $10 million. No, the $10 million didn't come overnight. It took some time to do that. I'm a denominator. And these are all black examples of the dollar state. None of them, once again, none of them marched. None of them protested. None of them called Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton. None of them waited around for reparations. The common denominator is, and they did what the framers of the Constitution did for this country, as well as anybody who's coming to a capitalistic system, the name of the game is find something and make it, manufacture it. For Mignon Francois, it's cupcakes. I can say it's really as simple as that. Now, your thing might not be cupcakes. You know, in Washington, if you haven't been to Washington, D.C., if you go to Washington, D.C., get a chance to get to D.C., go to a place, it's one of my favorite greaser spoons on the planet. Greaser spoons don't have good food. Good tasting food. But, like, I like chili dogs, but typically the only place I'll eat a chili dog is at Ben's. Straight up Greaser Spoon. They also have a vegetarian menu now. But with Ben's Chili Bowl, Ben Ali, he's gone now, but Virginia Ali, his wife, who helped him build the business, is still there. You can see her practically every day at Ben's, particularly during the weekday. He took a chili dog. And he fed his family, kids through school, off of selling chili dogs. Now Ben's is at the municipal building. Well, you want to go to the original location on Florida Avenue Northwest, right by the Lincoln Theater. And right now, like Virginia, matter of fact, if you go to Instagram and just put in Ben's Chili Bowl, and then you get their news feeds. And Virginia Ali and other family members, but she helped build that business off of a chili dog. So what he made was a chili dog. Then chili has smokes, then chili burgers. So whatever it is, pick it. Now you just can't stop it. You start with one project or one product. But my best example is, like I say, look at a Chinese menu, Chinese food carryout restaurant menu, and count how many items on there. And the assignment that I gave you guys at the beginning of this podcast was this. Then I go to the phone lines. Get a scratch sheet of paper out, could be a napkin or what have you. On one side, put the name of your family and put, like, it could be Jones family product line. All right. And then have a dash here. And then if you don't have any products, if your family does not produce any products, then put zero. If it produces a product, in other words, if you make cupcakes, all right, then you put a one there. If you just make one type of cupcake, you just put a one there. Now, on the other side of the paper, then I want you to write down, and I'm just picking this name out of there, Chen family product line. And then I want you to take a Chinese menu, Chinese restaurant menu, and then count every last item that they have on that Chinese food menu and put that there. The menu that I have right by my hand right here has over 300 items. 32 to 35 of those items are just on the lunch menu alone. And typically when you step inside of a Chinese food carryout, it's a family-based business. So, but you don't have to be Chinese. You don't have to be Asian. That's why I use Mignon Francois, because Mignon Francois and the name of her business, this is something that you can do right now today. It's called the Cupcake Collection. She's got a location in New Orleans, Louisiana, and one in, either Nashville, Tennessee or Memphis, Tennessee. But she's got a website, the Cupcake Collection. Call them up and ask them how many different varieties of cupcakes do they make. And then you'll get an accurate picture on how she went from $5 and 7 kids to $10 million in sales. That's over the whole time she's been in business. How she was able to get her lights cut back on, how she was able to get her electric cut back on, how she was able to save her house from foreclosure, and she still has that house today. Black woman. You can spend a couple of hours or so just on YouTube checking out her videos. And occasionally I play some of her audios on here. So she has mastered the art of keeping that dollar within the family for over 6 hours. So once again, you don't need to march. You don't need to protest. You don't have to wait on reparations. I mean, you can wait on reparations if you want to, but while you're waiting on reparations, you can turn the tables financially by just identifying something that you can make or learn how to make and sell it. Or you can do the Sam Walton thing. You know, Sam Walton didn't make anything, but he opened up outlets for people who wanted to buy items inexpensively. Now, he's not the only one who's done that. There are other people that have taken that same idea. And like Harbor Freight. Somewhere in a dollar store curriculum, I know there's one American that opened up one of these dollar store things, but originated it. But a lot of these dollar store things are just outlets for Chinese companies to sell their products in the United States. Nothing wrong with that. Also, there are African Americans who've gone to Asia and opened up businesses that they're doing pretty well exporting the culture. So whatever it is, no matter how you want to do it, because it's only limited to your imagination, is what are you going to do to try to keep that dollar within your household for more than 6 hours? So start with yourself. Don't look at any of your other family members. Don't look outside of your family. Don't look for Jesse Jackson, the Rainbow Coalition. The next dollar that you have, or the dollar that you already have, you know, how long is it going to stay within your community? Where you mine your gas? You know, where you have your nails done or your hair done? Where you buying your clothes? If you're buying food, okay, instead of going to a grocery store, brand name grocery store, you might want to find a farmer's market, and then find a farmer within the farmer's market who looks like you, and patronize that particular business. That will keep that particular dollar floating in the community a little bit longer. Or if you're buying tomatoes from somebody at the farmer's market, then, you know, well, you know, I'll just leave it up to your imagination. 6 hours, what is your family product? What's your family product? Okay. 314, your mic is open.
And L.A., what's going
yes,
on?
Yes, sir. Hot.
You know, I was looking at Black Enterprise, top 100 black businesses.
One of my favorite publications.
I don't see that latest cupcake business on here.
No, well, she made that $10 million. That's an aggregate over a series of years.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, you don't know. She doesn't do $10 million a year. That's what she's made from day one collectively. But I'm glad you brought that up, because my favorite issue of Black Enterprise is what you just talked about, the yearly, the industrial companies. And that's a snapshot of what, you know, what's out here. I think people should study that.
Absolutely. They have the top 100 from 4 million up to 2 billion.
Right. I think they have
I'm sorry. 12 billion. I know the one up at 12 billion, Dave Stewart. In St. Louis.
Let me ask you this. Now, St. Louis, because I haven't looked at the current list, but what's going on in St. Louis because it seems like St. Louis is pretty good to black entrepreneurs. What's going on in St. Louis? Why is the environment there good for that, to breed black entrepreneurs?
I don't know. I'm not going to say they are. There's other states that have more black entrepreneurs, depending on what type of area that industry that you're looking at. You know, anything can be. I'm talking about businesses. I ain't talking about no entrepreneur. Entrepreneur is an individual.
Well, that's true.
I'm talking about black businesses that's headed by black a person who's what you would call black lineage here in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And heck, even Oprah with Harpo was down to 78, did you? Of course, H.J. Russell.
Didn't you
178
have,
million.
Didn't you have, what's her name? What's the man of C.J. Walker? Didn't you have something major in St. Louis?
Annie Malone.
All right, Annie Malone did, okay.
Yes, he had Poro, beauty manufacturer. They got an orphan home that's named after her. They're across from the old Homer G. Hospital site, which is around the corner from, Sumner High School.
Well,
but no, this is, you need to get some of these people to talk to on Black Enterprise Top 100 and going through lists. I see some new ones I have never seen before. Golden Crush used to be over 100 million. They down to like 32 million now. That was Laura Hawthorne, the Jamaican's business.
You know, that's a good idea. I got a connection into Dudley Products. Yeah, they're not on the list now, but they used to be.
The lowest price is the construction company, which is $4.7 million, which is really not bad, depending on how they work. The Roberts brothers are still on at $6.8 million. They used to be up around $300 million. No, Roberts brothers was teetering at $1 billion at one time. They really fell off because of the downturn in the economy. And I forget what year that was. They built a 20-story office building in St. Louis.
Mm.
But they had a downturn in the economy and it hurt them pretty bad. I think they was overextended. I gave them a bid for a building. They didn't want my number. It was looking for cheap stuff.
Something's going on in St. Louis because what Sweetie Pies is
out
of St. Louis. That's food.
You're talking about manufacturing, industrial.
Yeah, well, you're making something. You're right. And the
list
you're talking
design,
about.
Technology, so.
People that are listening, if you're Tianki just named it, if my favorite issue every year by Black Enterprise Magazine is the top 100. You want to go to the industrial companies. They also have, I don't know if they're still listed, automotive sales, but the industrial list, the manufacturers, that's the top 100. That's the list to look at. Historically,
Amos
was on there when he was starting out. Well, not when he was starting out, but when he was sort of at his
peak. They got the auto 40. You got the RLJ McLaren. They got $1.8 billion. Wade Ford. This number two, $674 million.
And
BMW Sterling, $200 million. Bikes are doing good and pretty good in business as far as automobile is concerned.
And the majority of the
lowest is Millison Ford at $32 million.
Right, the majority of them are they're conservative politically, which is, I think, is a good thing. Speaking of which, just changing gears a little bit, your take on the raid yesterday?
Well, I understand it was done correctly. It wasn't a raid; it was. It will serve the search warrant.
Okay.
But here's the thing. I don't know. See, I'm against the FBI or any government agency going into a state without checking in to the local authorities. And they should be made to leave their guns at the local authority. FBI has no business going up and knocking on people's doors in a community, in another state. Well, any community, really. And you can check in with the local authority, that being the sheriff or any other entity that's over the population, has authority, that type of authority in the population. RS agents shouldn't be carrying guns. All those guns should be taken away from them and given to poor people who can't afford guns for their protection.
Right. Well,
as far as financial, you know, even Carver Bank Group, they're at $590 million. One United is $656 million. You know who One United is. And top 15 is 15 in banking. So I think that Blacks are doing pretty well. They're doing about, if it's going to get any better, they would. They're doing just as good as it's going to be. Don't you think?
Yeah, that's why I like that publication.
Absolutely.
And I'm glad his sons run that magazine now, because I think Earl Graves passed away a few years ago.
Yeah, they do about 38 some odd million, Black Enterprise just by itself.
So yeah, they do conventions or conferences. The conferences, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Now, as far as you trying to say that there needs to be more Black entrepreneurs, I'm sure they will if they come upon that. Every business is not for everybody.
That's true.
And then, too, you got to have something to get involved in this. Your own clothing line and perfumes, you're only going to have so many can do that. You're not going to have room for no 10 million people in the community, in the population, to get involved in those two items, those two areas. Another point, Blacks is not no separate ethnic group in the United States. They are Americans, the United States citizens. And they should be privileged to all the privileges and rights of any American citizen. And if you want to, what you're talking about requires planning, some dedication, strong family, things of that nature, and by all means, luck plays a big part in it also.
Yeah. Well,
so if you got a hundred businesses, and the lowest one is about $4.8 million, the top one is $12 billion, that's probably the run of the mill. Could it be any more? Possibly. But it's not going to come and fall in your lap. It's something that you got to work for.
True.
Work too. And then you got to look at the areas to get into. Areas to get into nowadays, if I was coming up, I would get into the space industry myself. That would be one. There's a lot of
opportunities. What do you think about what's happening with drones? There's a whole lot of applications of drones out here now.
I would get involved in drones. I would get involved in more Star Trek-type weaponry. I would get involved in propulsion systems that would allow that type of travel. There will be flying cars, if you want to call them for another name.
Yep. I'm waiting for that one to develop, and how they going, you know, the airspace and all that other type stuff.
Well, they already have them developed. They've got the, I guess you can call them drone type vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, you can fly them at a certain altitude and a certain vector route.
We're in the age of the Jetsons. I've even seen, I watch these videos probably every other day, where these guys have they have these suits on, and you know they jump off of a cliff or something like, I mean, high up, but they're actually flying. But the suit is designed where you can actually fly. I mean, you're not going to flap your wings or nothing like that, but. I find that interesting. 407, your mic is open.
Oh, good day, gentlemen, brothers. Nice information you were giving out, LA, and I was thinking about it. I have a question. Is that Bianchi who I heard?
Yep.
Yeah, that's me.
Okay, I have a question. Pianki, you mentioned a while back about a 3D printer for grandchildren, and I never did figure out what that was. I wanted to ask you what's a 3D printer you were suggesting instead of chess?
Well, a 3D printer allows you to print out an object that you have drawn up, and the object will be viewable from all sides, top and bottom.
Oh, okay. So the kids
can be a heart. It can be a heart. It can be a replacement part. They have scanners now that you can scan a whole damn automobile. I've seen people talk about 3D houses. I wouldn't want to live in one. But no, if you got a part, for instance, a part off of a sewing machine that's broken, well, you can 3D print that part, and it would be functional as if you were to buy a new one.
So how do children use that or interact with that? What's that? What's the benefit? You said instead of chess.
If you had to type in on YouTube, 3D printer toys, because they can make, some people, they can make their own toys with using a 3D printer.
Oh, so they make their own stuff out of it.
You make your own stuff with 3D printing. Also, it's used in industrial work.
Okay.
A child would need to have a strong math, not necessarily, but it would help if they had a strong math background too, especially into the advanced mathematics like calculus, differential exponentials, differential equations.
Okay,
with 3D
so
printing.
Six and 8 year old might not find that very useful at this stage, huh?
No, you can start introducing a child 6 and 8 years old to whatever you think they can handle. Yes, they can do 3D printing.
Okay.
If you can spur their innovative mind, you got to show them, you got to introduce them to the application of things and how they work and how they are used in everyday life. That is agitating their innovative minds.
Okay, that sounds good. I'm gonna look that up on YouTube. And then I just had a thought earlier, LA, when you were talking about making money from products like the Cupcake Lady and all that. And these people who create these products are they're capitalizing on the consumerism that is crazy in our country. I think you mentioned chili dogs. I'm like, chili dogs.
Chili bone DC.
People. Yeah. I wonder if the guy who makes the chili dogs actually eats them. Because if you're eating that all the time, you're not going to have very good health. So, you know, my mind is like thinking health, and I'm actually on my second day of fasting from all food. I'm like just drinking coconut water today because, for one, the Lionsgate portal is open and there's peak energy all until the 12th, so I'm like taking advantage of it. But when I heard chili dogs, I was like, who eats chili dogs? Well, this must be, if he's making a lot of money on chili dogs, it's like there's a family or a business in Texas that makes gumbo pizza or something like that. And I'm like, wow. And this guy does videos of all the people who drive hundreds of miles even. He interviewed somebody who came all the way. Let's see, he was in Texas. I think they came from Louisiana or some craziness. They drive all these miles just to get his taco pizza. Or no, his gumbo pizza or gumbo tacos. And I'm like, wow. So yeah, there's a lot of money to be made if you are capitalizing on what everybody's consuming, whether it's clothes. Kanye's making clothes, people love to dress, and they broke as hell. So you know, it's one thing to promote your business that you're making your tacos or whatever, but do you have the money? Can you afford that? I was thinking about my grandchildren. I just left this place called Once Upon a Child. You bring in old clothes, and they give you credit, and you can buy new clothes. Or it's like a recycling of clothes. This, to me, is the smartest thing somebody ever came up with, because unless you're Beyonce, you can't afford, you don't need to be buying new clothes for your kids. They wear them out, first of all, when they're 6 and 8 years old. They're not going to be in them that long. So what is such a waste of money to buy new clothes for children these days, because they grow out of them too fast. And you got, so if you don't have a place like Once Upon a Child where you can take these clothes that they hardly wore, they might have worn them one time, and you can take them back to this company, the store, and they give you a credit if they use them, and then you can buy some larger size clothes. This is the smartest thing somebody ever came up with, because you pay like $2 for a pair of leotards, size 12, or $8, as opposed to spending $20 or $40 for a dress for a child? Hell no. So I'm just thinking about people who want to make money, start a business, try and do something more conscious, like Once Upon a Child. And stop feeding people's consumerism disease. That's why people are in debt so much, because they got to consume. Somebody was like, well, if I buy this, somebody sent me something. Etsy has a 25% off sale. I'm like, I don't need nothing from Etsy right now. And if I did, I don't have a budget for Etsy right now. So all those things people should consider. I'm just saying, be more conscious about what you're buying. And whatever you're creating to sell to people, be more conscious, because our society needs more conscious products like Once Upon a Child, for one. But those
well,
people
Leon, let me ask you. Let me ask you this, Viola.
Like
okay, Viola, let me ask you this. Now, you walk your talk. You know, you're on your second tiny house. You're vegan or vegetarian? You're a vegetarian, right?
Well, I have not been a strict vegetarian. I went to the beach the other day. I had a big, my son bought me back a big salmon salad. It was delicious. But I'm not so hungry for meat, you know, like that every day.
Oh, okay.
That's
well,
you lived
in, 120 some square foot tiny house, and now you've upgraded to like 300 and something square feet. So you walk, you talk, the question I had to ask you is, how long did it take you to, what's the word I want to look, to evolve into the person that you are now? Because you used to live the American dream out in California and when you were in Florida, How big was that house in California?
Well, California wasn't that big, but Florida was bigger. California, that house was, 2,000 square feet maybe. But the
2,000 square feet is not small. That's
well,
not a
maybe
small
it was,
house.
Maybe it was less than that, because it was smaller than the one in Florida. But here's the thing that changed my attitude and mind.
And
had
you had a swimming pool.
Right. But when my divorce happened, I had to become more independent. My husband used to pay for just about everything, the mortgage, all the big expenses he paid for. So when the divorce happened, it forced me into more independence. And I realized, whoa, this budget ain't big enough for a big house for one, or a big car for one, and all that. So that's what forced me into a more sustainable and smaller living and simple living style, is that I couldn't afford to. If I was going to be independent, then I had to spend less and go smaller. So that took me a while. It's just a process through the divorce, trying to sell a big house and figuring out, well, where am I going to live after this? Because my husband ain't going to be paying for the house anymore, the mortgage and all that. And I had my own business, but I was only making so much money in that business. And so, and then when grandchildren show up, that really shifted my priorities to do what I do, to find a small house where I can just be there to influence them in the time that I have with them, because it ain't going to be long. But that's what shifted me. And that took, over, like I say, a year of trying to sell my house that was a period of a year where I said, I got to go smaller. And someone introduced me to a tiny house before we sold our big house. So that's where it was for me.
Okay, well, you've been walking.
You know, L.A., you got you got a business here. I like to click these businesses, too, and see what they are engaged in. Well, here's one that's in air traffic control and engineering out of D.C., JMA Solutions. That's a good thing to be in. They got 132 employees, and they do about $30 million a year in revenue.
And air traffic control?
Air traffic control.
All right, that's one business. That's, you know.
That's unusual for people coming around black society. I got a friend of mine that's doing, who's looking and doing a business in aviation, aerial refueling.
I've seen pictures of that.
He's going to have a big C-130 tanker, and he's going to offer service to refuel jets that's coming from the East Coast to the West Coast when they get to over mid-America. He'll fly up and provide them the ability to refuel in air and keep on going, not having to land and get caught up in land-based traffic.
We live in a marvelous age.
Now, I sent you some emails of the tiny homes, but
at,
you go to the
ones
bottom.
I looked at yesterday on the tiny houses.
Yeah, you go down to the bottom, and you see those airport communities. And that's the one that I'm really impressed with. Matter of fact, I got to show them my grandson, where people have these homes and an airstrip. And, hell, they may have an automobile garage, three-car automobile garage, and one of their garages is for the airplane. That's really neat.
Yeah, that's,
got them down in Florida, Texas, Georgia, of course, California. And I think I showed you about five or six of them.
Yeah, that's you can live remotely that way.
Yeah. And it's some big communities. A lot of people live there.
Right.
But anyway, you're about ready to get off the air. I'm going to let you
that's
go.
It. Well, thanks for the contribution. Thanks for calling in. And it's
and you know, L.A., I have one thing to add.
Sure.
People, anybody who has a job, a J-O-B that they love and they're not stressed, that's the job for them. But people who are not happy in their job, those are the ones that need to venture out and create something new. But if you don't have, because stress is what's killing people. People on these jobs that they hate. If you hate your job, you need to create something new, whether a new job or a new, create a business of your own. But everybody's not meant to start their own business. Because some people really love the jobs and the people they work with. My son, for one, he works at SeaWorld, and he works at Discovery Cove. He's been there about 15 years. He loves his job because the people he works with are so much fun, he says. And being in there with all them dolphins. So that's the thing that people should look for and think about. Don't try and make build your own business if you're happy in your job and you're making enough money doing and you have a lifestyle that's manageable and all that. Then just do it and be the best you can at whatever you're doing. And then if you have an opportunity to build your own business, do it and do it with consciousness, please, and stop creating stuff, more stuff for people to consume that they don't need. People don't need more shoes, really. But if that's your thing, you're going to contribute to the disease of consumerism. I know women got 20 pair of shoes. I'm like, what the fuck? What do you need 20
pairs? Well, yeah, I know. I know some of my friends coming up.
You're not Beyonce. You know, Beyonce and all these superstars contribute to the consumerism disease because people looking and saying, oh, I need that top. I need those shoes, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But we need to stop that. Stop. Stop looking and trying to do what the stars are doing. Anyway, I had to add that. Thank you.
All right. I sent you three videos from YouTube.
Oh, thank
on,
you.
For your children, I mean your grandchildren, to
yeah,
if they want to make their own toys using 3D
printers. All right, thanks.
But yeah, you're right. Well, we all have to consume to a certain degree. It's just the hyper consumer consumerism. That's where people get into problems.
Right, exactly.
But and that can lead to a whole. That's a love language to a lot of people, though, consumerism. I'll give you an
kidding.
Example as I close out. A friend of mine, this is years ago, her boyfriend proposed to her. And she turned him down. You want to know the reason why?
Not enough money.
No, that wasn't it, but you're close. The ring wasn't big enough.
Oh, my goodness.
The stone. That's a whole nother podcast.
To each his own, because I was so disappointed that my husband bought me a new ring with a diamond, just one diamond sitting in the middle, and I thought, he doesn't know me very well, because that is not something I want to wear.
It wasn't enough, or it was too little, or too much?
It was too much. Oh, my goodness. One big diamond sitting on my finger, and I'm like, somebody might want to cut my finger off of that. And I just had all kind of thoughts. I don't need this. Like, some women need to feed their egos. I'm not there anymore. I don't need to feed my ego with a diamond ring on my finger.
All right. How old were you, 23 at the time, something like that?
When?
When he presented that ring.
No, that was like later on in our marriage. I was probably
later on.
50s, because I had lost my wedding band, and he replaced it with a diamond in the middle, a gold band with a diamond in the middle. And
mm-hmm.
I thought, he doesn't know me very well at all.
After the divorce,
mm-hmm. I took that ring back and traded it in for something I really liked.
Oh, okay. But see, in our culture, though, he was probably thinking about many women, I'm not going to say the average, but many, the bigger the better. That's the way he was probably thinking.
I know. Until you run out of money, then you're thinking of selling that thing.
And I think that's what happened to R. Kelly. I don't know what he did or didn't do, but I think when he ran out of money, he ran out of female companionship, but that's a whole nother thing. Anyway, thank you, Fiatta, for calling in. Before we go, it's only Tuesday, but you're on Friday, Female Solution. Give us the information on
health,
that.
Health and well-being on Friday. Ooh, we're coming off of a powerful time this week with the Lionsgate portal. So who knows what's going to happen on Friday, but I've been fasting. This is my second day of fasting, no food, just water. And I'm going to share about the struggle I had just to have one day without food. Boy, oh boy, my mind was like food, food, food. I couldn't stop thinking about food. But anyway, we need to fast. I know that periodically. And so I might talk about fasting and how to overcome the struggle of not putting more food in your mouth.
I want a brownie right now. I ain't got one.
See? There we go. There you go.
But I'm entitled.
Yeah, right. And that's what everybody thinks. They're entitled to food, more food.
I only weigh 195 pounds.
Yeah, I only weigh almost 130. So,
yeah, but I'm 6'8", though.
I don't need to fast. In terms of weight issues, but I need to fast
right.
In terms of health, improving my health.
Right,
the best
well,
way
nothing
to
wrong with that.
It. Yeah,
I
it's
think
the best
I'll just
way
drink me a glass. I'll drink a glass of water and call it a day.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, if I was going to get that brownie, I should have got it last night.
Okay.
Anyway, all right, thanks for calling
you
in.
Do.
Talk to you later.
Shalom.